Welcome to Coastal Cafe. I'm Aaron Barnett, your host today. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the University of Washington College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. And today we are talking with Catherine Bukowski-Smith from Washington State Parks Boating Program. Catherine is the manager of Washington State's Clean Vessel Pump Out Program. Hello, Catherine.
Hey, Aaron. How are you?
Good. So the State Clean Vessel Act Pump Out Program is, as it sounds, about pump outs, and that's marine sewage pump outs. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Could you tell us a little bit about the Clean Vessel Act itself? I know it goes back to 1992 as an act of Congress.
That's correct. Yeah. So the Clean Vessel Act was signed by Congress in November of 1992. And the act established a national grant program for states to apply for federal grant funds to construct, renovate, operate, and even maintain boat pump outs and other recreational sewage disposal facilities for the recreational boating public. The program also funds educational programs to help inform boaters of where pump outs are. And so for our state, that's our Pump Out Washington program, which you are a big part of. And so, yeah, so the act has been around for quite a while. And one of the things I wanted to say that I think is pretty neat is understanding a little bit more about the funding structure of the program. Is it okay if I talk about that?
Oh, yeah, that's actually one of the reasons why we're talking.
Awesome. Well, I think it's really neat. So the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service manages this National Clean Vessel Act, or CVA, grant program. And in Washington, State Parks Boating Program administers our grants at the state level. So my job is to apply for the federal grants every year on behalf of our state, and then get those federal grant dollars out to the public in the form of pass-through grants to public, private, and tribal boating facilities. And I know you know this, but I bet a lot of listeners don't, and that's where this money is coming from. So the money comes from the Sportfish Restoration and Boating Trust Fund, which is a pretty unique trust fund, actually. So money is coming into this trust fund from a few different sources. So things like electric tax on motors, excise taxes on fishing equipment, import duties on yachts and pleasure boats, and also on a motorboat fuel tax. So actually, boaters are paying into this trust fund. They're paying into the system. And then the federal government divvies up this big giant pot of money to lots of different federal agencies who then help and work with states to implement all kinds of boating and fishing projects across the country. And so that's why we can call our Clean Vessel Act grant program a user pay, user benefit program. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it is. I know I talked to enough boaters to know that a lot of them feel like they don't get much back for the money that they spend.
Yeah. And so I think that's, you know, one reason I really like working on this program, because it's saying, hey, boaters, you are putting in money towards making a better boating community out there. And this is part of that.
How long has Washington State been a participant in the program? And do you know of other, and how many other states are you aware of that are participants as well?
Washington actually, to my knowledge, created its own funding structure for a boat pump out program back in 1988. And the research that I did, what I think happened is that in the subsequent biennium, the state chose not to continue funding for that program. Thankfully, shortly after that, you had the Clean Vessel Act getting passed by Congress. And so in 1994, 2 years after the passage of the federal Clean Vessel Act, former Governor Mike Lowry designated Washington State Parks as the administering agency for our state CVA program. So what that means is that Washington has been awarding Clean Vessel Act grants for over 25 years. I think that's pretty impressive. I think you also asked how many states are participating, and that's a little bit of a trick question, and here's why. All 50 states and all U.S. territories are eligible to apply for our federal Clean Vessel Act grants. It's an annual competition, so every year we have to apply. We're applying for funds for both coastal waters and inland waters. Some states, like Washington, are very active in the grant program. We've received well over $20 million in the 25-year period. Other states are not quite as active based on their needs. So, for example, in 2019, I think about 27 states were awarded Clean Vessel Act grants. This past year, 2020, I think it was about 23 states. So probably about half the states are typically getting money from this grant fund every year.
These pump outs, okay, I believe there's like 150 plus, you know, depending on, you know, how you count them, pump outs in this state. So when a person goes to use a pump out, there's some science behind the impacts of what they're not putting into this water, so to speak. So could you talk about some of the impacts of raw sewage from boaters and why it's a good use of their time to go to one of these pump outs?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to bring in my new mom brain here for a second. Right. I think the most obvious impact of sewage, whether it be from boaters or anyone else, is the ick factor, right? The bottom line is it's really about keeping sewage and human waste out of the water. And I don't really know anybody that is excited by the prospect of sewage floating by or the smell of sewage, especially if they're out cruising Puget Sound trying to enjoy a beautiful day. So human sewage, whether it's from boats or any other source, I think we can all agree is just something we don't want in the water. And the reason for that is because I don't think this will surprise anyone, but human waste has the potential to have harmful pathogens in it. So think of things like hepatitis, cholera, norovirus, I think is a pretty obvious one. And these pathogens can be really harmful if they get into, say, an oyster. So, you know, you're out, either you get an oyster on the half shell at a restaurant or you're out and digging up your own shellfish. And if you eat that shellfish and it's contaminated and it hasn't been properly prepared or you're choosing to eat it raw, you can get really sick. Another thing that is important to think about is when sewage is in the water, we test for that by looking for fecal coliform bacteria. And when these bacteria exceed public health thresholds, swimming beaches are often closed and shellfish beds, both recreational and commercial, can be closed. This negatively impacts tourism, water-based recreation, obviously our really vibrant shellfish industry, and I think it also deteriorates quality of life for local residents. So I think, you know, as a whole, sewage is just something we can all agree gross. We don't want it in the water.
Right.
There's something unique, though, about boater sewage. And I know you know this, so feel free to jump in if I miss anything. Sewage and the holding tank of I'm just going to talk about recreational vessels because that's my main focus, is often untreated. And because it's untreated, there are often nutrients. And again, we talked about those pathogens, but some of those nutrients can actually stimulate algae to grow. And all that extra growth can also deplete oxygen in the water. And that's not good for our aquatic critters. The other thing is it's really concentrated. So if you think about, if you flush the toilet at home, that sewage is going down. It's mixing in with a lot of water. And by the time it gets to the wastewater treatment plant, it's much more diluted. Whereas for obvious reasons, your holding tank on your boat is not going to mix in your waste with a lot of extra water, right? Nobody wants to carry around all that water on their boat. So it's very concentrated. And I know something that you have a particular interest in is the tank chemicals, the holding tank chemicals that people pour in there for deodorization purposes. Those chemicals, and we totally understand why people use them, but sometimes they contain things like chlorine, ammonium, and in some cases, even formaldehyde. And so if you imagine, you don't want to just be dumping formaldehyde over into the water. That's just not, you know, that's not a good thing. And while formaldehyde is illegal in the United States, I believe some research has recently shown that some Canadian products do actually contain it. So what I want to say is I think sewage overall, it's just gross. We don't want it in the water. And I do think boaters take it pretty seriously. I think the boating community is awesome because, yes, it takes time. And, you know, it's a dirty job and it's pretty gross. But if by keeping our waters clean, everybody has a better day on the water.
And I guess some of the things that you mentioned, such as the threat to shellfish, treated versus untreated sewage, has led to Washington State Department of Ecology's petition and approval from the EPA for designating Puget Sound as a no-discharge zone.
That's my understanding is it's, you know, a lot to do with our shellfish industry and just our general goals as a state for improved water quality for everybody.
Well, we're going to have a couple people from Ecology on here in a couple weeks, and they can talk in more detail about the no-discharge zone, which I look forward to. I wanted to talk about mobile pump-out boats, and I know you wanted to do that as well. There was a project that you guys had undertook with a vendor. It was for a free mobile pump-out service that was ended. And what is the future of free mobile pump-out service in the state?
You know, there's definitely a lot to say here. And I think it's a good topic to cover because I believe it is quite a hot topic for some people in the recreational boating community. mobile pump out boats are the gold standard, the Cadillac of service in the world of pump outs. So, you know, when a boater goes to a stationary pump out and they're pumping out their holding tank, the cost to our Clean Vessel Act grant program is on the order of a couple cents per gallon. It is very, very minimal. And I think I mentioned at the beginning, but we use our grant funds every year. We expend between $300,000 and $500,000 in grant funds to reimburse ports and marinas for their work and their expenses to maintain these pump out systems and their sewage bills and what have you. And so, like I said, if you're using a stationary pump out, it's a couple cents per gallon. A mobile pump out is a really different operation, right? You have someone who's operating the boat. You have to pay to maintain the boat. Where are you going to store the boat, fuel for the boat? And so that it's just a little, it's more costly. And that cost is on the order of $20 to $40 per pump out. And so I would say, you know, maybe between a dollar and it's just over a dollar per gallon. And so the reality is that the Clean Vessel Act program can only get $1.5 million each year for all of the work that we do in our coastal area and up to $1.5 million for all of the work that we do in our inland area. So when you take that $1.5 million pie and you start slicing it up and you take out, like I said, that $300,000 to $500,000 for annual operations, you take out any money that we're spending on new pump out construction projects or major renovations, it doesn't leave us a huge slice of money left to be able to do free pump outs. And I think one of the big things is understanding that free pump outs and mobile pump out in particular is a great tool to reach boaters and provide service in areas where there may not be stationary facilities or that might be really rural and hard to access pump outs. But again, it's very costly. And so, unfortunately, the Clean Vessel Act grant program can't afford to give free pump outs to every boater everywhere all year round. But what's really exciting, I think, is that we, yes, we had to end that particular grant program, but we are working on a new grant cycle that we hope will open up this fall. And we've been talking to a lot of different marinas and independent operators who are looking to apply for the grant funds to bring back mobile pump out service in some select areas.
Are you at liberty to say what areas that they may be? Or is that something that's not?
I don't want to put anyone else on the hook who's inquiring, right? Because they might decide that that's not what they want to do. So I don't want to put anyone, highlight anyone in particular. I will say that a lot of the areas are where that free pump out service previously existed. I know some folks are also exploring the San Juan Island area as well and offering services up there. And so we'll really see, you know, one of the misconception that might be out there is that the Clean Vessel Act grant program is charged with deciding, you know, necessarily where services go. I think we, like I said, we prioritize and set up geographic priorities based on where we think the need is. But at the end of the day, it's really up to a marina or a business to say, we want to do this. We want the grant funds to operate this program or provide this service. So, you know, I do sometimes get phone calls from boaters saying, hey, you need to put a pump out boat up here. And I say, I would love to, but I need somebody who wants to operate and run that boat. And if a marina doesn't want to do it or a port doesn't want to do it, there's nothing I can do to make them.
If you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and I am Aaron Barnett, today's host of Coastal Cafe. And we're speaking with Catherine Bukalski-Smith, manager of Washington State's Clean Vessel Pump Out Program. So Catherine, back to the mobile pump out boats, there's a surprising a large number of marinas that actually do have pump-out boats. So if somebody's looking for a mobile pump-out, they can find out where they're located if they need a slip for the evening.
I would love to point out two places where boaters can find services that are available. So one is the pumpoutwashington.org, all spelled out, pumpoutwashington.org. And we have a great Google map on there that shows where pumpouts are. It also has a list of all the marinas that we've talked about that have free pump out service, in addition to commercial pump out services that are available for boaters who may not be near one of those marinas. The other thing, and I think you just alluded to it, is a new app. It's a mobile phone app called Pump Out Nav. It's available for free on the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. You were a huge part of getting it together, so please let me know if there's anything else you want to add to it. But you can use this app to geolocate the nearest pump out, portable toilet dump station, or even a floating restroom, depending on where you're boating, from Washington all the way down to California. And so this app is a tool that was created through a grant from the California Clean Vessel Act grant program. And now it is expanded all the way up to Washington. And it has even got pump out stations in some parts of the East Coast. So I'm really excited to have this new tool available for boaters. And I hope people will check it out. And like I said, we have more information about the app on our Pump Out Washington website.
Right. So, You mentioned earlier that the grant is broken up into inland and coastal, two separate. So when you say inland, are you referring mostly to Eastern Washington?
You know, it includes all of Eastern Washington, a large part of the Columbia River on our side of the Columbia, which we share that with Oregon, and their Clean Vessel Act program does a lot of work on the Columbia. And the inland area also includes, for our purposes, Lake Union, the Duwamish, and Lake Washington. And then our coastal grant area is all of Puget Sound, the San Juan Islands, and then, of course, the outer coast. So that pot of money has to cover a lot of geography and where most of the boats with holding tanks are in that particular geography. So that our coastal grant fund is usually a little bit more stretched just because there's so much more need for pump outs in that geographic area.
Has there been any talk of expanding that or going beyond the $1.5 million cap in the national level?
Not to my knowledge. You know, that, like I said, this is a federally managed program. And so it would have to be a decision at the federal level to increase what they call the grant cap amount every year. You know, I've had some thinking in the past about how finding ways to leverage other non-federal funds to be able to maybe increase the pot of money that we're working with, at least for our coastal grant side. But nothing's developed yet. I'm just kind of thinking about what other opportunities might exist so that we can meet more of the needs.
Right. I know the project up at Friday Harbor is intriguing to me. That is a mixture of Clean Vessel Act money, Port of Friday Harbor money, and a grant from the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. Is that correct?
That's correct. So they we know that up in the San Juan Islands, one of the big challenges is not just collecting the sewage, but where does the sewage go once it's been collected, right? We've talked about it has to be treated before it can be discharged or whatever. And that's a real challenge because the San Juan Islands have a very different set of wastewater treatment operations up there. And so they can't necessarily handle these huge influxes. And so a lot of times they're capturing your pump out when you're going up to Port of Friday Harbor is going over the wastewater treatment system. But at other places, it's going into a holding tank and getting shipped back to Anacortes for treatment. And so the Port of Friday Harbor is trying to work with their wastewater treatment facility. And they want to put in a big holding tank that the wastewater treatment plant will be able to then take the sewage at a time when it's convenient for their operations. And so to be able to put this whole project together, there are a lot of different utility type construction pieces happening. But yeah, they're going to combine some Clean Vessel Act grant funding, I think some port funding. And then we do have a partnership with the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. So they really did a great job in exploring all these different options to make this project come together.
Yeah, it appears that they're anticipating increased demand on their pump out, you know, by putting in a tank. This is how I understand it. Putting in a tank that will send the sewage in the off-peak hours, like say midnight, in a dosing type capability.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what they're looking to do. It's very interesting working in this program on pump outs. I've learned a lot more about wastewater treatment and sewage and some of the challenges that those folks who are managing those types of plants and operations experience. And one of the things that, you know, we both learned through some of the research is that, you know, these sewage plants, these big influxes of sewage and then decreases is really hard for them to manage. And so what, you know, building the infrastructure to help them better cope with that is a huge key in our ability to get more pump out stations placed in the islands.
Right. I understand there's some new stations going in, and I believe one of them is going to be going into everyone's favorite spot in the San Juans at Susha. Is that correct?
That's correct. I was just talking with the parks planners about that project earlier in the week, and looks like the project probably won't be completed until about 2023. And that's due to permitting. For those who are familiar with working in the water, there's a lot of permitting work and compliance that has to be done, but they're looking to put in a significant pump out barge up in Fossil Bay at Susha. And so we're all really excited. That's another project that was able to get some of those National Fish and Wildlife Foundation grant dollars to use in combination with their Clean Vessel Act grant.
Will that be a solar-powered unit or a hand-powered unit?
I don't know that yet, but I have talked to the planners about the fact that the hand-powered pump units are perhaps not the most desirable. Yeah. To see if there are other options, which there are, like you're alluding to, the solar power. And I think that there's still time in their construction design to work on that.
Are there any other stations going in around the state that you can talk about?
Yeah, I'd love to highlight there's Long Branch Marina down, I believe it's Key Peninsula and Falusi Bay. That marina has also gotten National Fish and Wildlife Foundation grant funds to work on their design portion and their permitting. And they are also going to get some Clean Vessel Act grant money to put in a new stationary pump out at their marina. And then there's a lot of renovation projects happening around the state. Lots of pump outs. Like I said, this program's been around for 25 years. And so, you know, equipment is going to fail after a long time and hopefully getting a lot of good use. So lots of marinas doing renovations on the either replacing the equipment or replacing the docks that the pump out sit on, or also having to do some utility work, you know, connecting pipes and whatnot.
You know, it's really interesting that we're in this time of COVID, particularly with boaters. You know, it's not only are boat retail sales way up, but pump out use in the South Puget Sound area and Washington State in general is way up because boaters can't get up to Canada where they normally go. And so the pump out equipment is getting an increased amount of use. And have you seen an increased amount of issues in Washington State because of COVID, you know, from stress on the equipment?
I haven't seen it yet, but I have received a number of phone calls and emails from the folks that we already have grants for operation and maintenance. So we have an annual operation and maintenance reimbursement program. And I've gotten a number of phone calls from people saying, hey, we had to get way more work done this year, you know, just giving you a heads up. I know Roche Harbor has some significant use. I talked with the manager of Deer Harbor Marina recently. I've talked with Islands Marine Center. So a lot, of course, up in the San Juans, there's been a ton of increased use. I think also West Sound Marina, I talked with the manager. And so, yeah, you know, I think the answer to that question is yes, because of the increase in boating, there is a lot more use on these pump out systems. So I suspect that in the next year or two, we're going to see a lot more applications for repairs, renovations, and replacements.
Right. Now, Roche Harbor has a pretty good mobile boat program. See, what's that called? The Fecal Freak? Is that correct?
Yeah, I think theirs is the Fecal Freak, and I think there's the Pumpty Dumpty somewhere. I forget where that particular.
That's in Friday Harbor.
That's the Friday Harbor. Okay, right. Yeah, and they have a really successful program. And, you know, that's San Juan Islands is one of the areas where mobile pump out boats, I think, will be a really great tool for providing more service to boaters and making sure boaters are not inclined to discharge overboard because they can't get good access to pump out. So that's a target area. And we are working with the county and partners all up in the San Juans, including my colleagues in State Parks Operations, to try to find some solutions for that area.
Well, that's fantastic to hear. So we got a few more minutes left. Is there anything that you want to particularly feel important to pass on to Washington State boaters about the Clean Vessel Act program and pump outs?
Well, yeah, just a couple things. I think one is, you know, if you're a boater and you feel that you're not you don't have adequate access to stationary pump outs, a really good place to start is talk to your marina. Say that, hey, we really need more of this. And then let them know, I heard that there's this Clean Vessel Act grant program available. I think a lot of marinas know about it, but sometimes they forget. They're busy. They've got a lot going on, a lot on their plate. So that might not be their priority. So my first comment to boaters is talk to your marinas that you like to visit and let them know that that's a need for you. The second thing is, just keeping sewage out of the water. I just want to appreciate the boaters for what they're doing. It's a dirty job. It's not ideal, but it's really appreciated. And we know it takes time out of a recreational experience to be able to dump your sewage. And so thank you to boaters for, helping to keep the ick out of the water. And the last thing I want to say is just to replug, please visit our pumpoutwashington.org website. We have a lot of resources on there, videos on how to pump out, how you can get a free pump out adapter to help making pumping out a little bit easier. And last but not least, if you're inclined to use mobile phone technology, I'd love for you to try downloading the Pump Out Nav app. It's free. It's available for Google and iPhones. And, we're hearing really good reviews of the app so far, and we're just wanting to make the whole pump out process a lot easier for boaters. So check out those resources. And of course, I always welcome, my contact information is online, and I love to talk to boaters about this. And thanks to the boating community for what you're doing.
Back to the app, I understand, actually I do know, that it is interactive, which means... if somebody encounters a pump out that's not working, they can report that through the app. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Right. So that's a really great, I'm glad you brought that up. So a boater, you can log in and create an account to save your favorite pump outs, but you don't have to. But anyone who's using the app, if you come across a pump out that doesn't seem to be working or has an issue, first thing you should always do is, again, let the marina staff know if you're there. Call them, find somebody. But you can also use this app to send a message that, hey, the pump out might be down. And then we actually get a message through the Clean Vessel Act program and our partners at Pump Out Washington. We get an email and can often follow up with the marina to say, hey, we heard your pump out is down. Is that accurate? Is it functional? Because we don't want any boater to waste a bunch of time cruising over to a broken pump out. I can't imagine a more frustrating experience. So, that's another great thing about this app is it's interactive. You can find your favorite pump out, save your favorite pump out, and also look to see if anything's broken before you waste your time going over there.
Oh, what a useful tool.
Absolutely.
And with that, I'm going to say thank you very much, Catherine, for speaking with us today. And this is Aaron Barnett. You've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the UW College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. Washington Sea Grant helps people and marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education that supports the conservation of our ocean and coastlines. I'd like to thank our program director, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne. And as always, a special shout out to the band Kuik for sharing their music with us at the opening and closing of this program. Thank you for listening and have a good day.